This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Today on the Breakfast Grill, I am talking to KC Wong, the Chief Executive of Credit Bureau Malaysia, and he is also the President of the Association of Credit Reporting Agencies, otherwise known as ACRA. KC, thank you for talking to me. Now, you are in an industry which is very important. I think you analyze the credit worthiness of people and companies, but I'll let you explain to me exactly what it is that CBM does.
Good morning, Koo. Thank you for having me. So, Credit Bureau Malaysia was actually set up about 10, 11 years ago at the behest of a government initiative to help improve financial inclusion for SMEs. As you know, our Malaysian government have a lot of programs, subsidies and grants to help SME ever since our first economic development plan. Somewhere in the year 2000, a UPM professor did a survey and found that there's no less than 18 ministries and 66 government agencies all having some program to help SME. So in an effort to try and coordinate all these activities, the central bank initiated, I think it's the central bank who initiated a coordinating meeting called the NSDC, National SME Development Council. So of course, with 18 ministers, you need the prime minister to chair such a meeting. At one of these meetings in 2004, they were asking the Association of SMEs why SMEs are finding it so difficult to grow despite all the help that the government is giving them. And among the many problems they cite, one was the difficulty to access financing. And of course, they asked the Association of Banks, why is it so difficult to access financing? And the Association of Banks had also voiced some issues that were slowing down this process. So resoundingly, one of the key things was that it's difficult to procure documentation and information about SME, and it's time-consuming to do a credit assessment on these SMEs where there is very little information about the industries and these SMEs themselves. So an idea was mooted to form a SME Credit Bureau. So the mission was given to CGC 2 years later, and in 2008, CGC finally spun off the project into a company called the SME Credit Bureau. That's the beginning of our company in 2008. And what we did was we built a digital platform connecting directly to CCRIS and connecting to SSM data. And we are able to swiftly aggregate digitally banking history and SSM registry information and financial filings into a credit report. And we had worked with a partner called Dun & Bradstreet Malaysia. They helped us build a credit score for SME, and we assemble all the data, run the score engine, generate the score, and send it to the bank. So what used to take 6 weeks or so to aggregate all the necessary documents and do the credit analysis, we compressed that timeline into something like 5 seconds. So today, if you walk into a bank who is a subscriber to CBM's credit reports, they submit the SSM number and the company name. We assemble all the data, send it back to the bank in 5 seconds. So of course, the bank still need a little bit more time to process manually, but it made the process a lot faster.
So this is for SMEs who want to raise financing from the typical financial system, right? And then of course, the banks have to assess whether this company is credit worthy or not.
That's right.
So does that mean you're a little bit different from the CTOS of this world? Because CTOS sounds as if they are more focused towards individual credit scores. Is that right?
Yeah. So CTOS and another company, now they are called Experian. We are very similar. We are all licensed credit bureaus, or the official term is a credit reporting agency. So we all generate credit reports. In terms of starting operations, CTOS and Experian started a little bit before us. We started in 2008, but we are pioneer in generating a credit report, because we were the first one who had access to CCRIS and to generate a statistically derived credit score. CTOS had started operation, I believe, in 1990. But at that time, they were mainly doing litigation search and a company search report. So banks go to CTOS to check if anybody or who has gone bankrupt and his company has wound up, or to get a company search report. So those were the early days. CTOS and Experian did not have access to CCRIS until much later, after CBM. And when they got access to CCRIS, then they started generating credit reports as well. So in the sense, today we do very similar things, but our roots are very different. CBM is rooted in helping to improve financial inclusion. In 2008, we started...
For SMEs in particular?
In the beginning, it was for SME. As we were credit reporting SME, we realized that a lot of the SME that were well established, they didn't need our help. It was the very young SME that needed our help. And the very young SME has, by definition, very little information in CCRIS. So it's very difficult. We don't have enough data to help come up with a good credit assessment of them. We started to look at the credit profile of the entrepreneur behind the SME. So in essence, we started to look at individuals. And because of the changes in the legislation, there was a Personal Data Protection Act that came in, and together with that, a sister act called the Credit Reporting Agency Act. So with this change in legislation, we decided to expand our scope and expanded to cover consumer individuals as well. So with that, we changed our name from SME Credit Bureau to Credit Bureau Malaysia.
Okay, so I presume now, based on the data that you have and the number of years in operation, you've got quite extensive track records and profiles of credit of companies, small and big, as well as individuals. What is the state of the creditworthiness, or let's just say about the SMEs at this point in time? Because it's been, 3 months since COVID. It's been huge problems. Lots of afflicted sectors, from aviation to property to real estate, all kinds of people. How good or how bad is the SME sector now?
Okay, so it's a very interesting and pertinent question, which a lot of banks are asking as well. I am sure central bank and the government is asking as well. Fortunately, it's a little bit too early, too preliminary for us to see any indication yet. I think in general, we're all expecting credit worthiness to have declined, to have been deteriorated. And that's a fact. How bad? It's very hard to see. One is because of this 6-month moratorium. Now, the government was very swift in rolling out a couple of programs to help soften the blow of this MCO and this COVID pandemic on the livelihood of businesses and individuals. And this 6-month moratorium essentially turned off the lights in terms of us being able to see who's able to pay their loan and who's not able to pay. So everybody doesn't have, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of us don't have to continue doing the loan repayment for the 6 months. And by that, we can't see who actually can pay, who cannot pay.
So explain this anomaly to me, because a few days ago, the finance minister came out to say that deployment of the various relief packages had been between 50% and 90% in terms of capital deployed. So if the capital has been deployed, on what terms was that capital deployed? Was it a blanket deployment? And were credit rules sidelined in that process?
So there are a couple of programs, and the conditions were slightly different. In general, credit rules were applied. I think they were a little bit looser than what it normally would be, but they did apply credit rules. In fact, surprisingly, during this MCO, Credit Bureau Malaysia saw a record volume of credit reports being generated. So obviously during the disbursement of this program, they were looking at credit reports, credit score, and there were credit rules. But I think in the beginning, the grants and the money was actually quite widely distributed, right? And of course, at that time, I guess the view was that this impact was quite widespread, and therefore the subsidy programs were also widespread. As we move further down, 3-4 months down the road, you can start to see that not everybody is affected the same way. Some industries like tourism, airlines, hospitality, those are quite severely affected. The rest of us, a lot of the businesses are starting to see recoveries. So it looks like a lot of business will be okay. So I guess the next round, if there's any more money to be distributed, ought to be more focused and pinpointed to those that are really in trouble, those that really need it, and not so widespread anymore.
I'm talking today to Casey Wong, the Chief Executive of Credit Bureau Malaysia, and he's also the President of the Association of Credit Reporting Agencies, ACRA. After this, Casey will come back and talk about the individual element and the loan moratorium and how it affects individuals. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
I'm talking this morning to Casey Wong, the Chief Executive of Credit Bureau Malaysia, and he's also the President of the Association of Credit Reporting Agencies, otherwise known as ACRA. Okay, so on the assumption, on the broadly held assumption that SMEs are the engine of any economy, right? And of course, I want to cite Credit Suisse, studies by Credit Suisse and all kinds of wealth management, that an economy like in Southeast Asia is between 60 to 90% of the economy, right?
Yes.
In this interim period, capital has been quite easily deployed because, of course, emergency measures, right? And as you say, credit rules, kind of like sideline, right? But then going forward into 2021, 2022, even the later part of 2020, right? There's also a knock-on effect to the financial system if, you know, the loan book is of a poor quality. And not because the SMEs themselves have been poorly managed, is because the external environment and domestic environment are so bad. So what is your sense of the way forward?
Okay, so let me take a step back. We shouldn't say that the credit rules were sidelined. I think the credit rules were largely applied, although a little bit looser. Now, what do we need to do going forward? Very interesting question, because even as we speak, this notion that the six-month moratorium is not enough and it should be extended.
What is your sense of the moratorium? Do you think that it should be extended?
I think the idea of the moratorium was a good one. Perhaps maybe the way it's executed does not need to be an outright moratorium on the loan itself. An outright moratorium introduces quite a few problems. The bank's system being able to deal with it. There's a lot of loan valuation calculation that needs to be adjusted, risk capital calculation and all that. So it's very cumbersome to do an actual moratorium, but they did it anyway. Going forward, I think the notion of an extension of this moratorium is probably necessary, especially for certain industries or certain businesses. Perhaps this round, it doesn't have to be done that way. One suggestion I have is it can be carried out. The effect can be the same, but it can be carried out via a new type of loan where essentially you give this SME a second loan, which is enough to cover the loan repayment of their first loan for a certain period yet to be determined. If you think it should be 6 months, it should cover 6 months worth of installments. And this second loan repayment period is actually structured to be further down past this difficult period before they are required to pay down this loan. And of course, this can be a zero interest loan, it can be a low interest loan to make things easier. But to book a second loan on top of the first loan is a much easier, cleaner way to handle and to put in the effect of a moratorium. So number one, the second loan will, of course, give you a bit of, albeit artificial, but it will be looked at as a bit of a loan growth. And number two, because you tie in the drawdown of the second loan into repayment of the first loan, you're not letting any money out. It wouldn't lead to any increased NPL, right? So this is a good way to effect the effect of a moratorium, but yet you don't have to make it explicitly as a moratorium. That's one way. There are other things that the government, between banks and government, there's a range of things to help SME. As you said, the SME is a very important sector. So on one hand, this banks should look at structuring this new type of loan, or some banks might already have such a structure, a small amount cover a particular period of loan repayment, and then the repayment period for this second loan is structured further down the road. There will be still some SMEs where banks are now very wary and careful about giving a second loan to, especially the tourism, the hospitality, and perhaps even the air travel industry. So maybe in those industries where the commercial bank is not quite comfortable, there is this guaranteeing concept that comes in with my parent company, the Credit Guarantee Corporation, and the MOF also has another scheme called the SJPP. So in this space, Malaysia is actually quite well established. We have two schemes that actually help banks to offtake some of the credit risk. So we guarantee those loans that the bank is not totally comfortable with. So I think a couple of days ago, CGC announced a collaboration with Maybank, where CGC guarantees 70% of a loan and Maybank covers the 30%, and they give this to SME to help tide them over this difficult period. So that second thing takes care of those weaker credits. We still have another problem. When you look at some of these businesses, especially in the air travel, because of the losses they're going to carry for the next few months, their capital will be severely affected. So these companies do not just need a loan. They might actually need some recapitalization. So I think it's time for the government to look at reviving Dana Modal, maybe to a smaller extent this round, but there are certain industries and certain companies which you can view as strategic. Obviously, say for the airlines, for example, I think it is a strategic industry. You don't want it to just collapse and close down. They might need some kind of a capital injection, tie them over. We don't know how long this slowdown in the economy is going to last due to the COVID. It could be a year, it could be 2 years, it could be more. So it's a very comprehensive range of things, right? A new fangled type of loan to tie over SMEs where banks are not comfortable, the guarantee scheme, where it's a deeper problem, it's a capital deterioration, Dana Modal should come in and help with the capital.
Now, Casey, very interesting suggestions for the industry to consider for SMEs, but for individuals, and I think a lot of people don't realize that these loan moratoriums have implications for not just their credit profiles, but also for their repayments and their financial responsibilities after the loan moratorium ends. Can you spell out the issues here?
Okay, so we have also fielded some questions from the public where they were asking what happens to their credit report during this time when they signed up to the moratorium or they didn't sign up to the moratorium. So the government was very swift. When they implemented this moratorium, albeit in the beginning, there was a bit of confusion whether you opt in or you opt out. But what they've done is they've actually instructed the CCRIS to basically repeat your credit payment behavior in March. And if you opt for the moratorium, it will be repeated for 6 months. So taking the moratorium will not show up as a negative on your credit report. Right? Now, of course, the problem is if you were already not current in March, it will also be replicated 6 months. So your credit report will also, your credit score will also not improve. Right? But this 6 months gives a breather, and we find that a lot of people were still sitting around enjoying this 6 month moratorium, and we're starting to get a bit worried. And this is echoed by Tengku Zafrul in the MOF as well, and the central bank has also did a webinar recently. And we want to highlight to the public, both SME and individuals, this 6 month moratorium, whilst you might enjoy it, there's something else you need to do. Now that the MCO is almost lifted, you need to do a quick assessment of your income levels and see whether you are severely affected or you are okay. The main thing is, can you continue loan repayments come month 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Because if you cannot and you wait until you actually are late in payment, it would be very difficult for you to get additional financing to help tie you over. So during this time, the 6 month moratorium, please do a quick assessment of your financial situation. And if you don't think you can make the loan repayments after the moratorium, you need to go see your bank. You need to start talking to your bank about finding a solution. And you need to start early before your credit History starts to deteriorate.
There's also a sense, Casey, that banks are becoming more cautious. Even though interest rates are dropping and central bank wants that money to be deployed, the banks themselves are getting more cautious.
Absolutely. Because when you see such a slowdown in the economic activity and how certain industries are hit, inevitably, there's going to be a spike in delinquencies and defaults. And it's not rocket science to expect bankruptcy and winding up to have a spike as well. Now, I think the government and the banks as well, they are all looking for ways to soften this. Now, it does not help the bank to have people defaulting. So I think in that sense, the banks, whilst being careful, they're not interested to make anybody default. In fact, the opposite, they are quite willing to help tie over those people that are having a short-term cash flow constraint. So once you've done your assessment and you talk to the bank, and I this is my advice, the best solution, okay, the best scenario is you don't need any more help from the bank. You're quite okay. In fact, you didn't even need the moratorium. That would be the best. If you find the moratorium useful to you, chances are you should go see the bank and you should start talking about helping to find a solution. And the best solution, I say, is actually this, get a small loan enough to tie you over for those months that you don't feel you can make the loan payment, right? It could be 6 months, it could be longer. Talk to the bank about getting such a loan. Now, of course, currently, they don't have the exact structure that is suitable. The exact structure requires the loan repayment on this second loan to be structured further down the road. Now, if there's such a loan, this is the best. Get this additional second loan to tie you over for the loan repayment of the first loan. Now, bear in mind, I'm asking for this new type of loan to be locked into repaying the first loan. That's the best. Now, if in the event you don't qualify for a additional financing, you still can look at another option called the restructuring and rescheduling. This is where you talk to the bank about changing the terms of your current loan. And this usually means extending the tenure so that you can reduce the monthly repayment. This is the second best choice, good, because it does show up as a restructuring. Now, before the MCO, if you restructure and reschedule a loan, credit bureaus normally, and it's different for different credit bureau, but your credit score will definitely deteriorate, and some might not even score you if you restructure a loan. But recently, after following the webinar that Bank Negara did, Bank Negara also announced that they are looking at not showing the restructuring and rescheduling as such, so that your credit score don't deteriorate. So that's another way the government is trying to help. All this is actually good for the rakyat. But in a way, it also turns off the lights for the banks doing the credit assessment. So then the bank can't see really if there are any credit behavior that's deteriorating. I mean, they can see, but it's going to be very hard. So that adds another factor of uncertainty to the credit granters, the bank, which we are looking to help the banks deal with.
Okay, Casey, I'm afraid we ran out of time, but thanks for your thoughts and your honesty when it comes to the real situation for people as well as companies. I was talking to Casey Wong, the Chief Executive of Credit Bureau Malaysia, and as well as being the President of the Association of Credit Reporting Agencies, ACRA, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.